Some of you may have seen or heard of that film, an old film by now, It's a Wonderful Life. And in it, there's a character whose name is George Bailey. I like his last name. George wonders at the end of his life if he has made any difference at all. He's made any significant contribution to the well-being. Has it been worthwhile for him to have lived? And he is given an opportunity through his guardian angel, Terence, to look back at his life and to see a picture of what the world would have been and the relationships that he had been able to foster, what it would have been had he not lived. And he was so surprised to see the impact, unknowing in terms of his intention and the things that he did and the harm that he prevented just by being alive, just by being the person that he was. And he was gifted with that vision. I would suspect that each of us would like to be granted such a vision, to feel like our lives have made a difference. Like in the case of George Bailey, he did not know. He did not even know. And this is one of the serious as well as important points of the gospel lesson today. It is that in the case of the sheep nations and the goat nations, they both ask the same question. Lord, when did we see, do, hear, whatever? When did we? Totally oblivious indeed to that by which they were being judged. And I believe that this metaphor is very poignant and significant because it challenges us to recognize that we do not, in and of ourselves, earn God's favor. The point of our living and the point of our faithing and the point of our Christian discipleship is not to earn God's love or grace. It is already granted. It is rather to recognize what is the call of God upon our lives and our community and, dare I say, our nations. And so today, in the brief reflection that I want to offer, we need to be bifocal, as it were. I know there are a number of you that have bifocals or progressives. I have them, so don't worry. I'm not casting any aspersions. Need to see better. Getting on in age now, you know. But we need to be bifocal in terms of our attention in this particular metaphor. This reading, notice that at the outset, it is the nations who are being judged. Ethne in Greek. It are the nations, the Gentile nations, but the nations per se in the theological extent. And nations are being judged by the way in which they respond to the most vulnerable part of their nation, their community. The hungry and the thirsty, the naked and the sick and the imprisoned. Sounds a lot like justice. Sounds a lot like social and political policy. Sounds a lot like common ways in which neighborhoods are meant to live in relationship to each other. So the bifocality that we're meant to engage in is to look at the nations in which we find ourselves as citizens, as well as who comprises those nations. We as human beings, as citizens, and in particular as this community of faith we here at Parkdale and as Christian people. We get uneasy when we hear texts like these, but we know those of you who have been over the last few weeks know that we've been dealing with very difficult texts and struggling and perhaps have caused us to squirm in our faith and in our life. We've been dealing with finding appropriate use of our talents and the money entrusted to us. We've been talking about being wise in the oil that we have, meaning the power of God's Spirit to live in readiness in the world. We've been wrestling with all of these challenging things. And here now on this last Sunday of our liturgical year, we have yet another challenging text. A text that talks about judgment and eternal fire and that sort of thing. And we don't like to hear that. But I would want to suggest to you that we pay attention, indeed, to the overarching theological themes that help us understand this text. We're always dealing with a God whose purpose it is to demonstrate love and grace and justice to the world that God so loves. That must be taken as de facto the place that we start from. And therefore, if that is true, that means that any instrument at God's disposal, whether it is persuasion, whether it is challenge, or whether it is judgment, is all in service to accomplish God's loving, just, and merciful goals. Judgment is never an ultimate in the nature of God or the practice of God. That is what we understand. It is meant to propel and challenge and move us in the direction of faithfulness. Always penultimate, never ultimate. That doesn't let us off the hook. As Mark Twain says, sometimes we like to hide behind our inability to understand text. And he said, it is not the text of Scripture that I have trouble with. It is those that I understand full well but do not want to do. And I think that this is an interesting way of looking at this particular one. In both instances, the nations coming before that judgment are separated as sheep nations and goat nations. We can use that shorthand. And the judgment by the Son of Man has to do with the way, as I mentioned, that they treated the naked and the hungry and the thirsty and the imprisoned and the sick. And they both said, when did we see you? And what is the answer that comes from the Son of Man? When did you see me? You saw me in the way that you cared for people that were hungry. Right near you, right on your neighborhood, right in your family, in your constituency, in your country, in your city, in your world. That's when you helped me. The naked and the hungry, the sick and the imprisoned. When you visited, when you took action. You didn't even know that you were doing this. And sometimes we want to stop in the middle of this and say, you know, Jesus, why didn't you stop running around in disguises? This is Christ the King Sunday. This is the reign of Christ Sunday. And when we think of King, we think it's easier to serve some identifiable being or body. If he would just be a good CEO, a good CFO, somebody that we could see and respond to in appropriate ways, we'll know the protocol. But this Jesus disguises himself in the ordinary people of our lives. And says, insofar as your love and disposition and faith and action is toward them as I have modeled for you in my life and teaching, you are doing it to me. Unselfconsciously being about the business of understanding that all relationships involve God. That there is no relationship in which God is not implicated. Either we are honoring God or dishonoring God, or sometimes at the same time doing both. And so the invitation is to ask the question, Lord, when did we see? And ask ourselves, how are we seeing with our heart? It is important for us to remember that in the Christian life, having faith is not as important as doing faith. It is about doing faith. Notice there's nothing earned here. The text says, to the sheep nations, come and inherit. Now, when you inherit something, do you earn it? It is the gift of the one who is bequeathing that to you. And therefore, we are not to check off brownie points about how many people we serve, how often we went to a soup kitchen, and so forth. Rather, we are to cultivate a disposition in which our heart and our eyes and our life and our faith sees everyone in whom we come in contact as the presence of God, as possessing the face of Christ. In a sense, they are judged for what they do as nation and as individual members of every nation when we think God's not around. You know when you were young. Your parents asked you to do something. And you know you would more likely do that the way your parents asked you when your parents were watching than when they were not. True or not? All of you were model kids, I guess. You know, nobody's wanting to admit anything. Yes, but you know there are some of whom it is said that would do that. That those who recognize that if the gaze of scrutiny is upon you, then you're going to behave a certain way. And when it's not, well, you feel free to act however you would like. The invitation of this text is to say, watch out. Watch out because what I'm asking of you as the Son of Man is to live your lives as if I am watching all the time. Not only am I watching, not to hold a stick over you, but watching for the ways in which I may enjoy the delight of the relationships and the way in which you treat one another. I am watching to see how I can celebrate when kindness and love and justice and grace and mercy and forgiveness and moving out of our comfort zones into those places where people are in need. This is not a checklist to be checked off. It is an attitude of faith and a practice of discipleship to be engaged in. Just yesterday, I sit on the board of the Union Mission. We were at a retreat, a board retreat, called together, looking at strategic things, and we are urgently trying to move ahead in the direction of affordable housing, both in terms of networking and partnering and seeing that, because all of the research has shown and all of the experience and the over 100 years of gathered wisdom at the mission and throughout this country, Campaign 2000, who works with children in poverty, have shown that issues of poverty and addiction and crime are fundamentally related to housing, to clean, safe, affordable housing. If people are insecurely housed, there are a number of indices that demonstrate insecurity in the way they live. And so, we ask ourselves, what capacities are there in our own resources and circles of influence to ensure that we may be part of that solution? We began exploring the possibilities, as has been done already, of those who have large homes that perhaps are not fully inhabited at this time, renovating and transforming the basements of those and others with separate entrances into housing solutions for the homeless. But when did we see them? Some ask. Insofar as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. We rejoice that the APEC nation has met in Lima and they promised to try to increase the way in which nations will cooperate to raise the economic profile and to ensure that there is less hardship around the world. And that is good, and we support and encourage that. But a more fundamental question must be asked of nations, especially those nations that have the capacity to impact the world as it has in this awful economic meltdown. We have to ask the questions behind the practice, that it is the heart that has been corrupted by greed and hubris and arrogance that has manipulated our economic system into this predatory force that results in what we are facing today. We must ask that question. God is dead serious about how nations practice business, how nations practice economic and political policy and social policy in a way that protects the most marginal and vulnerable members of its society. Children, as well as the weak, the impoverished, those despairing, those who are sick. Dead serious. As Christians, as citizens of this nation, global citizens, our challenge is to recognize in our everyday relationships, in our activity and our advocacy, how we may ensure that we see with our hearts, practice the kind of faith nations such as Barbados, as Canada, all the nations on the continent of Africa, somehow we have to find a way to ensure that we are playing our part on God's behalf to build a momentum of influence that will transform the way in which we live apart from each other. For those who did not practice these also said, Lord, when did we see the poor, the hungry, the naked? Notice that they are judged for what they did not do. It's about doing. For when you did not feed the hungry and did not clothe the naked and did not visit those in prison and did not help the sick with medical care that is affordable, prompt, caring, you did not do it to me. When you go to the doctor's office or the hospital, when you move about your neighborhood or at the supermarket, when you go to the bank, when you enter stores, places of business, your workplace, family gatherings, Every venue is an opportunity for you to cultivate a relationship and to practice the kind of faith that sees those whom you are encountering as Christ. Imagine for a moment in your heart what your neighborhood, your family, your bank, your shopping center, your workplace, your city would be like if we did that. Imagine, Lord, when did we see? Amen. I invite you to close your eyes if you would, and I want to end with this poem about this particular text. Just use your imagination and allow it to wash over you. Hear the word of Jesus coming to us. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you gave me a home. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was ill, you came to my help. When in prison, you visited me. I am the hungry crowd, weary and underfed. I am the willing boy sharing 5 loaves of bread. I am the thirsty rabbi waiting by Jacob's well. I am that thrilled woman with the good news to tell. I am the prodigal son, stranger in a foreign place. I am the waiting parent full of prodigious grace. I am the mugged traveler left naked by the road. I am the good Samaritan ready to bear the load. I am the crying leper outcast to lonely lands. I am the wounded nurse with healing in my hands. I am the condemned man alone in prison cell. I am the sinner's friend sharing the deepest hell. When I come in glory, my sheep will all know me. Branded with my own love which sets the captive free. If you must give me a title before you find some rest, let King describe your servant. And that will serve you best. Thanks be to God. Amen.